Hi, good morning, church. Am I coming through? Yeah, okay, lovely. It's so amazing to see all of y'all gathered here today. There are a lot of fresh faces. It's always good to see fresh faces in our church. It's not that there's anything wrong with the faces coming back. It's always lovely to welcome new faces. We have Devin, who's back. Welcome, Devin, after his voyages to the southern continent. It's good to have you back. So today we are looking at Jonah chapter 4, and we are kind of closing in on that particular series that we were going through. We are looking at chapter 4 today. But before we get into it, and before I invite Jonathan to come and read the chapter, I think it's always good to start with prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to come here, to gather here, and to hear from you. Lord, this morning, we want to be able to participate and take away everything that you have packed for us, that you have provided for us, Lord. Lord, this morning, even as we reach into your word, Lord, we pray that it shall bring us wisdom, it shall bring us direction, it shall bring us teaching. Lord, most importantly, Lord, that we shall be able to tap into you, Lord, and the grace and the favor that we can so freely share in that, Lord. Lord, I pray this morning that every word that is spoken is a word that is spoken from you, Lord, and nothing else. Lord, take away any distraction, anything that will come to rob us of our peace. And Lord, let our ears and our hearts be open to receive you and your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Yep. You're on the spot while I sit.
Thank you. It's Jonah chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Our Lord, was not this what I was said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious God and a merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what might become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plan and made it come over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plan. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plan that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plan?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry, even to death." But the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plan for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which come up in a night and perished in a night. And I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock.
Thank you, Jonathan. So amazing that we are able to delegate stuff, isn't it? I so enjoy it. Right. So we are in Jonah 4 today, but we will be looking quite a bit at Jonah chapter 3 and even other parts of the Bible. Now, the fun thing about Jonah is that if you are born into a Christian family, the story of Jonah has lived with you through your entire life, right? It's such an amazing story. It's so amazing to be able to introduce it to the kids. You have Jonah jumping or being thrown out of the ship, a huge fish swallowing him, and after 3 days, vomiting him out, right? I mean, it's such an amazing miracle. It is a miracle to be able to survive 3 days in the belly of a fish. No wonder it is so popular. Everybody knows about it, whether you're a Christian or even people who aren't Christian have heard about the story of Jonah. And we see as last week Sam was sharing, we see that many times the story of Jonah can get, what was the word you used, vegetalized? Or vegetabilized, which is a bit diluted from what actually the essence of this story is. And while it is a great story, it is also, as we have heard before, it's a prophecy. Jesus uses Jonah's story to prophesy about his own death, burial, and resurrection. So obviously, Jonah's story now is not only important because of the fish, and he's surviving 3 days within it, which reminds me, I think if DC ever wondering why Aquaman is not doing too well, they should be looking at news stories like Jonah, right? Beat that, Aquaman, surviving 3 days inside a fish. Yeah, so we have Jonah now important because of this miracle, also important because of the prophecy, right? Jesus is using the story of Jonah to prophesy about his own resurrection. So that makes it now doubly important. However, what struck me most about the story of Jonah in the recent past is that the story of Jonah is about salvation. It is about redemption. And it is about repentance. And if you read Jonah 1 and if you read Jonah 4, we are coming across a prophet who was angry when he was told to go to Nineveh. He was so angry and he was so reluctant that he was willing to go to the exact opposite side and as far as he could go. This is before he gets to Nineveh. Now, if you were to fast forward to chapter 4, and we just read chapter 4, Jonathan just read it for us, he's again angry. He's upset. He can't understand how God is not punishing them. He can't understand how is it that the city of Nineveh were able to be saved just because he repented. And if you look at the arc of the story, if a man is angry before he goes to Nineveh, and he's angry after he comes out of Nineveh, you can imagine what he was in Nineveh, right? Imagine Jonah going into Nineveh and telling the people that they need to repent or be destroyed. If they repent, they are saved else they're destroyed. How did you think this guy spread that message? I would like to have been there in Nineveh. And yet you see, there's a huge, huge change in the attitude of the people. Now, I can understand Jonah. If you read about the Assyrians, it is said that they were a brutal people, right? Their armies were brutal. They treated the prisoners of war terribly. It is said that they even put hooks through the noses of their kings and generals while they led them away from the conquest. So I can understand why Jonah was so reluctant. If I were in his place, I wouldn't be just reluctant because I can see my enemy potentially being saved. I might be even scared for my life. I wouldn't know what I would be walking into. And yet, I think what has jumped up for me is not the fact that is the fact that we do not need to be that worried about how we bring the message as much as we have the need to bring the message. Now, in Nineveh, Jonah is going to a city which is the capital of a country which is almost at its peak of its influence. The armies were spreading around the place, conquering cities and countries. They were besieging countries, taking away their riches. They were a proud nation. And yet, when Jonah went there, and in his reluctant attitude, spread the message, there was revival. And I think that brings me to the first point, which is from, if somebody can read John 4 and verse 35. The point is that the fields are white for harvest. We might not be able to see it. We might be seeing it as something that is barren, as something that is, that there is no potential harvest. However, Jesus says that the fields are white with harvest. If somebody can read John 4 and verse 35. Thank you. There is a need for salvation in the world. And Jesus is telling us that the people are ready. We might not be able to recognize it. All he needs is for us to be the messenger. Are we ready to be that messenger? Now, God's plan is that everyone should be saved and no one should be lost. In the prayer meeting this morning, Ella brought the word from Psalms 145. And there too we heard he has a plan for everyone. It is not limited for a few. It is not limited for us just in this room. Everyone is capable of being saved. Jesus, the blood that he shed, it can wipe away the sins of anyone, immaterial who it is and what is their past. All he needs is for us to partner with him, to be able to take the message to the people around us. And irrespective of whether it is family, whether it is friends, whether it is the wider world. The question is, am I willing to be a partner in God's plan? I think Jonah, reading Jonah has challenged me. Am I willing to be a partner to be able to take God's word and use my opportunities to spread his word? I'm also so much encouraged by our very own Tyra. Tyra, wherever you are, big shout out to you. We miss you. I was just having a conversation a couple of months back with her, and I realized that at one stage, Tyra alone was responsible for 1/3 of our attendance in the church. One person. 1/3 of the attendance. Amazing, isn't it? All because she's always willing to share. She's always willing to go out and speak. It's an amazing thing to learn and to be encouraged by and to realize that, yes, we are meant to be doing that. Because God's plan is that everyone should be saved just the way I've been saved. I've been a recipient of his grace. I've been a recipient of his mercy. I've been a recipient of his forgiveness. And because I've received all that, I now have an opportunity for salvation and to be with him in heaven. And he wants that for everyone. It's not something that he wants only for Zach or Sam or Bryn. No. His plan is this should be for each and every one. One more verse, which I would like somebody to read. And I think if you can read 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Anyone? 2 Peter 3 and verse 9.
I got it. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance.
Yeah. He wants all to reach repentance. And if we are willing to partner in that, right, we are the ones who are blessed. We might be a reluctant, angry prophet, and yet, if we are able to partner with God and bring the message of salvation, and if people are able to change, imagine, like Jonah, our names would be remembered for years, for thousands of years. Imagine Victory Hill partners with God's plan for Edinburgh. Thousands of years down the line, somebody will have written about what Victory Hill did and the change that it brought in Edinburgh. So the story about Jonah tells us that the people of Nineveh were were just waiting for somebody to bring in the message. They just needed somebody to come in and speak it. Chapter 4 says that the journey across Nineveh is 3 days worth of traveling, right? And it says that Jonah traveled only a 1 day's worth of distance. Essentially, he just did one third. And then he spoke. And then everyone, right from the king to the commoner, it sparked something and it changed. Changed them, changed the trajectory of their lives. What it needed, what Nineveh needed, was a message and a messenger. And no wonder, if you go to Romans 10 and verse 14, and I think if you have the slide, it says that the people who bring the word, their feet are called beautiful. Now, I would struggle for someone to describe Jonah as beautiful on that journey, especially if a person has been in the belly of a fish for 3 days and then vomited onto the beach, and then he walks for a couple of days and starts speaking the word. How do you think his feet would have been? And yet, for the people of Nineveh, his feet were beautiful. And Romans 10 says, and how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. I love for the day when somebody would call my feet beautiful. Not because I went for a pedicure with koi carp fish, but because I've been able to bring a message of joy, of peace, and I've made a change in their life. And it's not easy. It's definitely not easy. Speaking about our faith, it's not easy. In a world that is, in fact, in many ways getting difficult. So, in 2022, we had the World Cup, right? The Football World Cup. And for the first time in years, I found myself not really excited by it. And I don't know why. I mean, I still can't put a finger on it. Why? Maybe I was traveling, whatever it is. I just wasn't as excited until we came to the finals. But that was such a different thing for me. Football, World Cup, everything else takes backstage, right? At least I try to do that. There are, in Xenia's mom's place, it's like there is a whole program set out when especially Portugal or Brazil are playing, and then there will be special shopping done so that, you know, it's kind of a party. There's so much of enthusiasm. But I found that over the years, this enthusiasm has kind of is dying down for whatever reason. And the unfortunate thing is that many times, I also find that sometimes the enthusiasm of sharing the word or being able to speak about Jesus or being able to share the word, this enthusiasm is also kind of dulled down. And it is funny, right? When you go to the New Testament and when you read about these people who had these experiences with Jesus, you read about a kind of, what is the word, unbridled, uncontainable enthusiasm they had to go and share what they had just found, right? Sam, if I could get you to read John 1, verse 41 to 43, and Bryn, John 4, verses 28 to 30. So I'm John 1, 4, 41 to 43.
He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter.
Yep. So we see Andrew, which is Simon Peter's brother, has come across Jesus. What does he do? Straight away he's excited and he's running to find Simon. "Where are you? Why?" "We have found something. We have found somebody who is amazing." Look at that enthusiasm in sharing what he has found. Bryn, if you can read John 4 and verses 28 to 30.
"So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?' They went out of the town and were coming to him."
And I just want to concentrate on the last part. Everybody who heard that woman that day came out of town to come and meet Jesus. Now, we are talking about the Samaritan woman. And she obviously wasn't that important in that town. In fact, she would have been, you know, at the outer parts of the town. But her enthusiasm and her excitement was so much that they couldn't stop themselves from following her to come and see who this Jesus was. Imagine having that infectious enthusiasm while we are here. It's a bit of, like in Hindi, we have a word called Josh, right? Maybe Aruna will be able to explain it better later. But Josh is, it's different things. Yeah, repeat after me. Josh.
Josh.
We'll teach you Hindi one day, don't worry. Josh. Josh is, it is passion. We were singing about passion. It is being on fire. It is being excited. It is being enthusiastic. It is a bit of, you know, reckless abandon. All mixed into one. Why? Because we have found something that excites us so much that it can't contain us. We just are caught up in it. I think there are we need to be able to recapture our Josh. We need to be able to find it, grab it, and cultivate it. And there is a very good reason why these people were excited and why at many times we are excited. And that is because the word says that the kingdom of God is a very precious treasure. And I want to take us to Matthew 13 and verse 44. I'm sorry I'm getting you guys to read it out, but if somebody could read, Dom? Matthew 13 and verse 44.
"The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field."
Yeah. Why does he do that? Because he knows that there is a treasure and it's precious and it is life-changing. So he does everything to go and ensure that he's able to grab it, right? The paradox here is, it is not for just that one person. It is not for me who has now found the treasure. The paradox is that the same treasure is for everyone else. We should be able to tell everyone around us that I found the treasure. All you need to do is go buy your own field, get the treasure. be able to enthuse the people whom he can come in contact with. That the reason why we are so happy and we are so excited and everything is because we have found a treasure, and there is the same treasure available for you. It is not exclusive to me or to us, but it is available to everybody who will listen. Now, it is difficult, as I told. It is difficult. It's not easy to be able to share our faith. At least we who are in Edinburgh, we have the opportunity, we have the freedom. As I was sharing with Ed in the Connect group, at least here, we don't have the threat of physical violence, nor our livelihood or our businesses or our homes or things taken away just because we have the courage to share the word. But there are places where it is so, so difficult. It's closed. We can't even enter those areas. Here in Edinburgh, we have the opportunity. And it's challenging me to make the most of this opportunity. And unfortunately, it cannot come just by relying on my own strength, on my own wisdom, or on my own energy. And we have to recognize that to be that enthused, we need the Holy Spirit. And if you can put the third slide, which is the verse from Acts 2. Acts 2, 1 to 4. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave him utterance. And in fact, if you go further down in Acts 2, they were so, the moment this happened, they were so loud, they were so exuberant that the people outside thought that they were drunk. Now, coming back to football and football fans, not us, but the typical football fan, right? Especially when they are in groups, and if they are drunk, can you imagine the sound they make, right? I think, I have a feeling that that is what was happening there. They were so loud, and they were shouting, and they were speaking things that the people around thought that they are drunk. I think we need to start imagining ourselves like them and pray that we don't get evicted, but we have that same energy, the same sound, the same passion. We need to clone Tozin. Amen? We need that the streets outside here what the Lord is doing here. Amen?
Amen?
This season, we are hearing a lot of the word arise. It came this morning. Sammy is on about it every time. And I think, but it's so, so apt. We are being called to arise, to recognize that the harvest is ready, to arise, to be partners with God in his plan. And when we arise, we carry that message with energy, exuberance, because it is an amazing, amazing message. If it has done so much for us, I think we need to be able to share it with a lot of Josh. Amen? With the people that we come in contact with. I'll ask the worship team to arise as we finish the... Yeah. The sacrifice that Jesus paid, the death on his cross, and the blood that he shed is too precious just for a few. It cannot be just for a few. And God's plan will happen. The question is whether I'm partnering in it. If I don't, the person next to me will be the partner. Somebody or someone will be the Jonah who goes into Nineveh, who goes into the places around us and brings a message which God wants for his people. I think as we finish up on Jonah, it's good to recognize that it is not us. It is never about us. We are not the right tools, except when we are placed in God's hands. It's like what we have always heard. He doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies those who answer the call. And I think as we conclude, and we conclude in prayer, I think it's time that we pray that we are challenged and we are equipped to be able to be those effective partners in God's plan. Shall we rise? Yeah, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your plan. That your plan is for the salvation of all mankind. There is no one who's kept away from it, Lord. That you want everyone to be saved. And Lord, I pray that we as a church and individually, Lord, we will be stirred up to be as partners in your plan. And that wherever we go, we will be able to share your word boldly, with conviction, with enthusiasm. And Lord, we pray that we will be blessed by the Holy Spirit at all times, Lord, because we can't do it on our own. We need you, Lord. We need your Spirit. Thank you for the word that you brought today. And Lord, I pray that we'll store it in our heart and we'll use it when we are provided the opportunities. In Jesus, your mighty name, we pray, Lord.